Oh, hi, family. I'm an addict. My name is Hope. And Paul got me, too. You know, but I love Paul, and the God of my understanding works through other people, you know. And like the gentleman was talking about, like, God will do for me what I cannot do for myself, you know. And then when he asked me, like, if I would share, like, I was nervous, right? I was telling this young lady next to me that I was a wreck because I've never spoken on a convention level. And my mind, that piece of meat that he was talking about, is up there saying, like, what do you got to share? You know, you're not a circuit speaker. You know, and my disease will do whatever it can to get me out of where I am. And I got to do some stuff, right, to stay where I'm at. And so, like, you know, July 4th, 2003 was when my recovery started. That's when I was a newcomer, you know. I came to Narcotics Anonymous probably about 2 months prior to that. And I didn't come here for myself. I came for my daughter, and I would sit in the rooms when they'd say your names, you know, and when it got to me, I'd say, raise my hand, and I'd say, hi, I'm Hope, and I'm here to support her and all of you, you know, because, like, I know how hard it is to kick, because I thought when I put down cocaine, which was my drug of choice, 16 years prior, that that I was clean, you know. My mind had me believing as a newcomer, like, my disease is so funny, right, because, like, it has me believing some crazy stuff. It had me believing, right, that marijuana was okay because, you know, it was Mother Nature and it grew on Earth, and alcohol was okay because it was legal, you know. And even though I read that reading, you know, where it says, you know, alcohol is a drug too, I didn't hear that. And I would come into these meetings with my daughter, and I would sit there and say, you know, all that stuff, and then I'd go home and I would get high and I would expect her not to. And then one day, right, I had taken a 16-year clean, you know, the black tag from a group because I thought I was clean for 16 years because I hadn't done my drug of choice. And then one day on a way home from a meeting, my daughter said to me, we were driving together, and she said to me, you know, Mom, you're really not clean. And I'm an addict, and I'm in denial a lot. And still, right? And my sponsor always tells me, like, it's a program of honesty and to stay honest. So I'm trying to share as honest as I can, right? And give a clear message, you know, to the newcomer. So my mind at that moment, at that very moment, I was like, what the hell do you mean I'm not clean? Yes, I am. And, like, you know, I was like, how dare you? That's the attitude I took with her, you know. I was like, who do you think you're talking to? I'm your mother, you know. I got that attitude going on, right? And she goes, but you still drink and you still get high. You still smoke marijuana. And it took me for a loop, right? And it was that day, July 3rd, 2003, right, that I said, oh, shit, right? I said, damn, man, this is my daughter calling me out on my shit. Right? I want her to stay clean. So now, Hope, right? Now, Hope, what are you going to do? Right? So it was July 4th was my clean date, and I've been here ever since. And it says in our literature that the newcomer is the most important person. And I'm so grateful to my predecessors, right? I'm very grateful to my predecessors because in my area, the predecessors in my area were very involved in the program, in all areas of the program. They were very involved, and they took me under their wing. They fanned my flame, right? They fanned my flame. I would come into these meetings. My daughter ended up going back out and using. I would stand there, and I would complain about it. I'd be like, man, like, why the hell did they bring me here, drop me off, and leave me? I was so pissed off that they were going out and still getting high, meaning my son and my daughter. We were all active, right? Because my disease, and I'm sorry I'm all over the place. This is my first time and I'm a wreck, right? But, like, my disease took me, right, from a wooded area with a 48-ounce bottle of beer in my younger years to being in a bedroom getting high with my children, right? And it took me to a whole lot of places in between, right? It took me a whole lot of places in between. And I did a lot of stuff against my will. Like, I didn't want to do it, but I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how, and when I did stop, I didn't know how to stay stopped. Right? I didn't know how to do this. Right? But I knew that, like, I didn't want my kids to die from this disease. Right? Like, that was my motive in the beginning, man. When my daughter put me on that flip, whatever you want to call it, right? Like, I went on this journey somewhere. Like, the God of my understanding came into me, into my heart or something. And, like, I don't know what happened, but, like, I went on this journey, and I was like, man, if I want them to stay clean, like, I got to stay clean, too. I can't ask them to do something that I'm not doing. Right? I can't do that. I don't know where that thought came from, but I'm glad it came. Right? I'm glad it came because I was a newcomer then. I didn't know nothing about this. You know? I truly believe today that the God of my understanding has always been with me, right? And he used my children as the vessel to get me where I'm at today. And what I could say is the God of my understanding worked so good in my life, right, that I was able to keep the example going. I was able, like these people in my area kept flaming the flame, right, of me being a newcomer and would take me places, take me under their wings. They would do things with me. Like, they'd call me, you know, if they didn't see me, they'd call me up and say, are you okay? Like, I didn't have that stuff growing up. Right? I didn't have that stuff growing up. I used a lot of my time seeking my mother's approval, seeking just a lot of love, you know, a lot of stuff that I never got. And, like, I got it here. And that was the attraction. And that's the other thing I want to talk about with the newcomer, right? Like, we got to make it an attraction. It's not a promotional thing. My kids used to tell me I was an NA brochure because, like, it started working for me, right? And I didn't want them to die. And I was watching, like, the euphoria of my children, like, leave their existence. Like, I'm serious. I'd be watching my children go through some really bad pain, right? Like, you know, it's a program of anonymity, and I don't want to speak about, you know, their process, but, like, it was a painful process for me to stand by and watch my kids continue to down that path of destruction, right? But what I could say today is through the example of myself and by me just keep doing this next best right thing, right? Like, keep putting one foot in front of the other, even when I didn't want to, even when I don't want to today, just keep doing it, just keep doing it, just keep doing it, just keep doing it, because that's what my sponsor tells me, just do it. Just do it. Right? Just do it, Hope. You know, and I fall short. I don't always do it, you know, but I know when I don't always do it. I could tell you, you know, my life becomes unmanageable very rapidly when I don't just do it. And so, like, I'm very grateful for my sponsor, right? Because, like, I got this sponsor. This is my third sponsor, and I hope she's my last sponsor because I love her to death. And, like, she's given me so much, and she continues to give me something every day, you know. And she's another one who just keeps putting her foot in front of the other no matter what. She just doesn't use, and she just keeps doing what she's doing, what she's doing, what she's doing, even when she don't want to, you know. And I'm glad that she instilled that into me, you know what I mean? And I'm glad that she loves me enough to be honest with me. Right? When I want to be in denial, when I don't want to face the truth, when I don't want to live life on life's terms, right? And when I want to rationalize and justify and all that other stuff and say, but. You know, and she's like, and she lets me do all those buts, and, you know, and then when I'm done, she tells me the real deal. And it's not always what I want to hear, and sometimes I leave there, you know, you know, like, I don't know what the right word would be, you know, feeling some kind of way, right? And then, but by the time, because she lived on one side of the mountain, but by the time I got back over to the other side of the mountain towards my house, I realized that what she was telling me was right. Like, I was able to have an open mind and take a look at what she was saying and realize that she loves me. She, you know, she doesn't want to inflict pain on me. She wants to help me get better. And I don't always follow her direction. I don't. You know, and it was hard as a newcomer to do that. It really was because, like, I thought my way was the way for a lot of years. I used for a lot of years. You know, and it took me a long time to realize that my way, for 30 years plus or whatever it was, was not the right way, and nothing that I did ever worked, you know, and so I had to do something different. And people would just keep telling me when I was a newcomer, right, like just keep coming back because they would listen to me talk about my kids and, you know, and cry about my son who passed away when he was two. And, like, because, you know, I came in here with a lot of stuff. I ain't come in for me, but then I started hearing some, like, the hope for the program, right? I started hearing other people's experience. And the other people's experience started, like, I started identifying, like, I wasn't the only one that was molested. I wasn't the only one in the world that, like, didn't have a mother who took the time or had, you know, had the ability, right? Because that's what I know today. It's like, didn't have the ability or the capacity to teach me what it was that I needed to know about womanhood or anything like that, you know what I mean? And, so, you know, people took me under their wing, and they just kept saying, you know, just keep coming back, Hope, keep coming back. Don't use and keep coming back, right? Don't use and keep coming back, right? And, like, when my son, the first time I came in, I got clean in July. October is my son who passed away's birthday, so I would get emotional around October, you know, and then the holidays, of course, in between that. And then he passed away in February, so between October and February, I was a wreck. I was a wreck, you know, and I didn't know how to handle it not being high, because that's what I did. You know, I doused myself. I put toxins in my body so I didn't have to feel the death of my son. And what happened was my sponsor took me under her wings, like I'm saying, you know, and she held my hand and she walked me through the process of coming to acknowledge my son's death, first of all, and then going ahead and doing a stone at his grave so that I could go and visit him, because I stopped doing that because I didn't know where he was because I was too high and I wasn't spending money on monuments. Right? This is honest. Right? So I stopped going there. The guilt and shame killed me. I didn't know where he was. I would stand there in his ground. I don't know where he is. So I would just stand there and I would cry. So I just stopped doing it. And she walked me through this process, you know, getting the monument and going over to the cemetery, and we sat there and prayed, and my older son was there, and I asked him if he remembered his brother, and he said yes, and I broke down because he died when my son was four. So I broke down because I'm thinking at four, what would he remember? You know, but what I realized is that, like, it really affected him as well. He's 34 today and he's clean. My daughter's 28 today and clean. You know, my daughter made it back into the rooms, and I'm so grateful that I was able to fan their flame. Right? I was able to fan their flame enough, you know, stop being that brochure, allowing them their process, and just continue me doing my process, which was keep making meetings. Right? Keep learning how to live life on life's terms, right? How to be responsible, how to be accountable, right? How to love my children, how to allow my children to love me, right? How to love others, allow others to love me. And that was so hard, you know, because I was in a 12-year, am I doing okay here? I was in a 12-year abusive relationship with my first husband, and it was bad, you know, it was bad, and I was in denial, like the disease had me believing, you know, like he would tell me, nobody will want you, you know, you're fat, you got two kids, and by the time, you know, 12 years went by, I believed that nobody would want me, I was fat, and I had two kids, and so, like, I just kept staying, and what I realized today, through doing this process, this is a wonderful process, right, because what I realized today is that, like, the second I let my husband back in the house after he hit me, I was no longer the victim, but I became the volunteer. Yeah. Right? And this is the kind of stuff that my sponsor loves me enough to walk me through, right? Because I was in such denial that I stood around for 12 years getting beatings, you know, allowing my kids to be somewhat abused and stuff like that, you know, and that's stuff that I grew up with. Like, my mother grew up, I watched my mother being beat up, you know, and like, I would always say to her, man, I wouldn't treat my kids the way you do. I'm not going to have a man let do that stuff to me, you know. And I became my mother, man. I did exactly what I couldn't stand my mother for doing, you know. And what I realized today is that, like, my mother is a lovely woman, you know, and I love my mother to death. She's gone today, but, like, I love her so much. I miss her so much, right? because I didn't get a chance to make things right before she left. But what I understand today is that, like, she did the best that she could. Her mother died when she was 14. She ran the street. She had no guidance. So my mother gave me what she knew and had, which wasn't a whole lot, you know. So through that process, right, you know, like through that process, I was able to forgive my mom, and I was able to forgive myself, right, for not allowing my mother the opportunity, because she would try, and I would back her down, you know. And but today, like I have a relationship with my mother. This is a wonderful thing, right? Like, this process has, like, done so much for me. I'm so grateful for my predecessors for being here and telling me over and over again, don't use hope, just keep coming back, right? Take the cotton out of your ears, put it in your mouth, learn to listen, and then listen to learn, right? Stuff like that, man. You know what I mean? That's the stuff that I heard when I came in these rooms. But the most important thing that I heard was just keep coming back no matter what. That's the one thing that I heard, and it stuck with me. And things like, if I don't leave the basics, I never have to come back, stuck in my head, even though I didn't know what to do with that information. Like, because I didn't, you know, until a little bit later in my process. I didn't know what that meant. You know, what do you mean, don't leave the basics? If you leave the basics, you know, you don't have to come back. And, but I understand what that means today, right? That if I just keep doing what I'm doing, right, I could have another day. And I could be a good mom. And I could be a wife. And I could be, like, a sister. And I could be, like, I could show up for my brothers today. Right? I show up for my granddaughter, you know, and I'm blessed with my granddaughter because my daughter got clean enough to have a baby. So, you know what I mean? Like, this is just, people fanned the flame for me. And so that's what I do today, you know, with the newcomers. You're the most important person, you know. Just keep coming, no matter what, man. Just keep coming. Just keep coming, you know. And get with people who work this process, man. Who will help you through this process? Because this is the only thing that's ever been consistent with me. And in my entire life, for this long, like the gentleman said, he never did anything for 20 minutes. I've never done anything consistent in my life. I've always started projects and never finished them. You know, so I'm going to end with this. Like, I love the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful for this the convention here for asking me to share. I don't feel a wreck anymore. I hope I shared a message of hope, because that's what it is all about. And my name is Hope. I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.